Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Amen, amen. How many of you know that God is good? How many of you know that God is good to you? It's one thing to know that he's good for others, but it's important for us to know that he's good for us. Well, as always, it's always an honor and privilege to have an opportunity to share on a Sunday morning. Forever thankful to the Lord for him allowing me to be able to do this and be a part of his leadership in the body of Christ. But I'm also thankful and grateful for Pastor Allen and Joy Clayton, because they've been a blessing to my family and I, and I believe they're a blessing to this church body. So we're very blessed. This morning, I wanted to kind of touch on and talk about the title of the message is The Right Response. Now, there's nothing big or difficult or super spiritual about it. It's the right response. We respond to everything and anything throughout our normal day-to-day lives. Like, for example, when your car breaks down, many of you will take it to the mechanic to get it fixed. Some of you are supermen and superwomen, and you can fix it yourself. That's not me, but hey, I'm not judging. But either way, it's a response. For many of us, when we have sickness or disease that attacks our body, our response is we'll go to a doctor or we'll go to a hospital so that we can get healed and whole and be able to get better and move forward. Now, maybe the car or maybe the sickness doesn't touch on you, but this one will touch on everybody, because this is the number one thing in all of our lives. When our phones break, our response is we'll take it to someone to have it troubleshoot, for them to troubleshoot and for them to fix it. And so what I found is we respond to things every day of our lives. But what do we do when life happens and we don't know how to respond? You know what I mean? When the unexpected happens, when something occurs that takes your feet out from underneath you or your breath away from you. You know, the beauty of it is I love this. The Lord has never left us in the dark. He's been upfront with us about everything. And in Psalm 34:19, he says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." Who are the righteous? About 15 of y'all. That's more than the second service. Come on, guys. Who are the righteous? We are the righteous. Those of us who know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we are the righteous. And God says in his word, you know what, Derek? You're going to have a lot of challenges, a lot of unexpected things come your way. You're going to have setbacks. You're going to have some things that just come out of the blue and just perplex you. But guys, the scripture doesn't stop there. It says, but the Lord will deliver you from them all. Every last one of them. Whatever comes your way, we have a God who will help us and deliver us from them all. But there has to be a right response on our part. You know, 2002, 2003 was the darkest time of my life, mine and my family's life. And we found ourselves, we lost everything financially, lost our home, lost finances. One of us lost our jobs. We also had opportunities in ministry that for different reasons were taken away from us. We had close friends, not everybody, but some close friends and family who pulled away and turned their back on us. I mean, we found ourselves in a dark, dark place. And my initial response was to get angry at men and to get angry at God. I murmured and I complained for a long period of time. Now, by a show of hands, who in here thinks that me getting angry, me complaining, caused God to move on my behalf? Because if you have your hand raised, I'm going to talk to you after the service. There's a passage in the book of James, James 1, I believe 19 and 20, and it says this. It says, "So then, my beloved brethren, Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Me getting angry at men, me getting angry at God, does not produce the righteousness of God, does not produce the things that I need to cause God to move. We are to live and respond in a way that pleases God, even in the midst of a challenge, even in the midst of an adversity. Our character needs to stay godly, and our conduct must reflect Him. Why? Because in doing that, we line up with God's will. I tell people all the time, from a practical standpoint, never make an emotional decision. Don't ever make an emotional decision. So I'm a San Antonio boy. And back when I grew up, we very rarely were indoors. The only time we were indoors was on Fridays and Saturdays. And the reason was because on Fridays and Saturdays is when wrestling would come on TV. And that's what we did growing up. And you know what? Up until my late teens, I would have fought anybody in this room if you told me wrestling was fake, because I knew it was the real deal. And I love every Friday and Saturday watching those godly men, you know, the Junkyard Dog, the Great Kabuki, the Von Erichs, those men of God wrestling every week. And I watched it like, man, it was like, it was the best thing ever. And my favorite part of wrestling was the tag team wrestling matches. Whether it was 2 versus 2 or 3 versus 3, I loved the tag team. And the funny thing is I watched it week after week. But if I'm honest, it played out the same way every week. I don't know why I was watching it looking for a different result. But anyways, you would always be cheering for a certain team, right? And one of the wrestlers would be in the ring against the bad guys, and he'd be in there, and about 3/4 of the time, he'd be getting whooped. I mean, he's getting pummeled. He can't get a swing in at all. I mean, he's just getting beat, and it just looks bleak, and looks like your team's going to lose. But I still have this image in my head, because the camera would always pan to his partner on the outside of the ring, and his partner would be on the outside of the ring holding onto the ropes, shaking, you know, with this energy, just wanting to get in. And all he was waiting for was to be tagged in so that he could go in and help his partner. And the script always played out the same way. The villain team would go, and he would swing, and the good guy would duck and roll over, and he would tag his partner in. His partner would jump over the top of the rope, and the tide of the match would change, and they would win. Well, guys, this morning, here's what I believe. I believe that we have a God in heaven who's waiting for us to tag Him in, and that if we'll just respond and invite Him into our situation, the tide of the battle will turn in our favor. But our response has to be to tag Him in. We have to be willing to do that. But there's a right way to do that. We can learn a little bit from a guy named David. David in the scriptures, the Bible refers to him as a man after God's own heart. We know him as King David, David who slew Goliath, who killed the lion and the bear, this mighty man of God. He actually went through some of the same things that you and I went through. I love it. And so in 1 Samuel, there's a story. So David is and his men are on the run from King Saul. King Saul wants to kill David because David's just been anointed as the next king, and so Saul's threatened by that. And so David and his men find themselves living with the Philistine army, the army that opposed God and all he stood for. Well, the Philistine army is about to go and attack Israel, and they go out, and the battle hasn't started yet, and the Philistine leaders approach one leader who David and his men were staying with, and they said, "What is he doing here?" And they said, "What's to prevent him from turning on us in battle?" And all of the Philistine leaders decided they wanted to send David back to Ziklag, which is where they were staying, just for their safety so that David wouldn't turn on them. And so David and his men headed back to Ziklag. When they arrived, they found their town burned down and all of their families gone. I would say that's an affliction. That's something unexpected, wouldn't you say? So now let's pick up the story starting in verse 6 in 1 Samuel 30. It says, "David was greatly distressed, for the men spoke of stoning him because the souls of them all were bitterly grieved. each man for his sons and daughters. But David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David said, Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray you bring me the ephod. And Abiathar brought him the ephod. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And the Lord answered him, pursue, for you will surely overtake them and without fail recover all. So David went, he and 600 men with him, and came to the brook Besor, that those remain who were left behind. And so we see here where David, it says, was under distress. He gets there, town's ravaged, family gone. I mean, he's found himself in this crisis. And in the midst of this, there's this immense pressure. I mean, I would venture to say it, understandable, immense pressure. And all of a sudden, the men he's been living with, fighting with, doing life with, those closest to him, they went from grieving one moment to being angry one moment, to being angry at him, to then making a decision, hey, maybe we ought to take him out. Maybe he's the problem, and maybe we need to stone him and kill him. And I love David's response. The Bible didn't say David tried to defend himself. It didn't say that David tried to, David didn't react in emotion. It says David inquired of the Lord. He turned to the Lord. And the Lord gave him wisdom, told him what to do, and let's see what happened after that. And David smote the Amalekites from twilight even to the evening of the next day, and not a man of them escaped except 400 youths who rode camels and fled. David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken and rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that had been taken. David recovered all. So everything the Lord said to pursue and you will recover all. David did what the Lord said and he recovered all. I believe there's a lot of things that we can learn from this story that if we'll just put them into practice and make the right response, our ordinary action when life happens, I believe we'll experience the same things that God allowed David to experience. So the first thing I want us to focus in on is this. It says, David inquired of the Lord. He sought the Lord. When we inquire, that word inquire, it means nothing more than just pausing and seeking God. Just stopping everything else and seeking God. Now, I saw on the way here, the person sitting next to you, they need to be encouraged. So look at them and say, just be still. Okay, you just said that like you don't believe that. So look at the other person and just tell them, just be still. Guys, we've got to learn to be still, to pause, so that we gain an audience, or the Lord gains an audience with us. The Lord will speak to us if we'll simply be still. We've got to pause. And then when we pause, we've got to ask specific questions. Lord, how would you have me handle this? Lord, give me clarity. Lord, give me direction. How do I respond to this? And then we have to wait for the answer. Nowhere in inquiring do we see it's okay to be anxious and angry and frustrated and emotional. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts. It will guard your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, leave that up there. Does it say, don't worry about anything unless you get a bad diagnosis? Does it say, don't worry about anything unless you have more bills than you have money in your account? Does it say, don't worry about anything if there's division and strife in your family? Then you can worry about that? No, it says don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. We are to take everything to God. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18, it says, to keep doing that. It says, rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So we want to continuously keep going to the Lord in these situations, in these seasons. It says constantly. Another translation says unceasing. We don't want to stop. We want our right response to always be to turn to God first. And when we turn to God, we need to do those things. To pause, share what's on our heart, and to sit and listen. Now, I believe listening is the biggest part here that we struggle with. Number two thing is we need to learn to hear and listen. Listening is something I think we've lost over the years. For most people, be it marriages or on your job or with your children, most of the time when someone else is talking, we're formulating a response before they even finish. With God, we've got to learn to be attentive, to use active listening and really internalize what he's saying. If someone stabs you in the back, does something against you that hurts you, the Bible says to forgive. And so we've got to internalize that. What does that mean, God? What do you mean, forgive? If the Lord tells you to let something go, but you're like, but Lord, I love it. I enjoy doing it. We have to internalize what he's saying and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to let it go. We've got to listen and hear what the Lord is saying. And we don't want to add to what the Lord's saying or take away from it. Isaiah 30 and 21 says this, and wherever you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear this command behind you. This is the way, walk in it. I have somebody who came up to me and said, well, I can't hear the Lord. Yeah, you can hear the Lord. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can hear the Lord. Here's why I can say this. Because the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord comes and indwells in us when we make him our Lord. And we speak to him spirit to spirit. The Bible says, Jesus told the disciples it was good for him to go away because when he went away, the helper would come. And that when he came, he would speak only what he heard the Father speak to us. And he only speaks the truth. Jesus refers to him as a helper and a comforter. So the one we need is within us, speaking to us. All we have to do is be still and listen. And don't be one of those what I call yeah, but people. You know, hey, the Lord will heal you. Yeah, but my mama didn't get healed. The Lord will set you free. Yeah, but you know, everybody in my family struggled with the same thing. You know what? Your son's not too far gone. Yeah, but he's been out there a while. Don't be a yeah, but person, because our yeah, but limits what God can do, what he can do in our lives. We want to listen, internalize what the Word of God is saying, and hold on to it. And I know Pastor Allen every week says, everyone in the Ark Church reads Bible 365. I believe that. All of you. Y'all all read it before you came to church this morning. Yeah, y'all got quiet on that, didn't you? Y'all like, I'm not going to lie in church. But there's a reason he says that every week. There is a reason. This is important. It is very, very important. And we're going to learn about that. So we need to inquire like David did. We need to hear and listen what the Lord is exactly saying to us as David did. And then we have to have faith. Okay? We have to have faith. David believed in what the Lord told him. The Lord said, you will pursue and recover all. And so you and I, when we hear messages like this, we have to know that, you know what? Whatever the Lord tells me, I believe it, and I believe the outcome. Now, when I talk faith, here's what I'm talking about. I'm saying that you believe God. You believe he's good, and you believe he's faithful. You believe he's good for you and good to you, and he's faithful to you. I'm talking about trust. What I'm saying is putting it all in his hands and trusting him with the outcome. I'm talking about a confidence. I'm confident in God, that he will never leave me or forsake me, that he will lead me through this valley into green pastures, that he will pick me up and put me in a higher place. I am confident in him, the one whom I serve. I'm talking about an assurance that God will never let me down. I'm talking about a conviction that none of those yeah, but people can change your mind or change your heart because you know who God is. That's what I'm talking about when it comes to faith. Now, faith doesn't mean the absence of problems. Faith means that in the midst of it, you know the Lord has your hand and he's leading you through. That he has something good for you on the other side. And understand, faith bridges the gap between the promise and the results. So if you want to see the breakthrough, if you want to see everything recovered, if you want to see the blessing, you got to have faith. You have to. Hebrews 4:2 says this, "For we also have received the good news just as they did, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united with those who heard it in faith." We've got to have faith. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "He who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." God will bless you and reward you and help you if you have the right response. And so we have to inquire of the Lord. We have to hear and listen to what he's telling us. We have to have faith, trust and belief and a conviction. And then we have to obey. Obey. If you're married, look at your wife. I'm sorry, look at your husband and say obey. Yeah, guys, I'm not going to let you do that. You need to listen to your wife. But don't be clapping on that. But obedience is a lost art. We hear the word obey, obedience, and we think someone's trying to control us. God's not trying to control you. God knows what's best for you. God knows how to get you out of the mess that you're in. God knows how to get you over to the other side. In order for that to happen, we've got to listen to him. We've got to obey what he's saying. Obedience is faith in action. James 1:22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself." So whatever God tells us to do, we've got to believe in him and the outcome, and then we've got to walk it out. Take the steps according to how he's telling us to take those steps. And understand, our obedience shows the Lord that we love him, that we trust him. In John 14:15, it says this, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Guys, we don't want to add to or take away from what the Lord's directing us to do. We want to do exactly what he says to do when he says to do it. One of the things I learned in my own life is this: delayed obedience is disobedience. Adding to what God said, taking from what he says is disobedience. We want to do exactly what the Lord instructs us to do. I had a conversation with someone, and someone said, "Someone did something to me, and I'm having a hard time to forgive, and I don't know if I want to forgive those people." Guys, forgiveness is not about the other person. Pastor Allen talked about this a couple of weeks ago. It is a weight that we were not designed to carry, unforgiveness. And so you want to lift that off and give it to the Lord once and for all. That's what God tells us to do. And so we want to be obedient and do exactly what the Lord says. And then finally here, we want to stay focused on God's plan. God's given us instruction. He's given us clarity and direction. He's told us exactly what to do. And understand, it's not up to us to understand it clearly, but it's up to us to be obedient to his word. God doesn't think like us. He doesn't process like us. You know, I love looking at things a certain way, and it was amazing to me for some apparent reason, and I didn't say this last service, but several years back, something got into me, and for some reason, I went skydiving. I'll never do that again. It was the most horrifying thing I've ever done in my life. And there's a video somewhere that nobody will ever see. But the perspective of this land that we live in, we see Conroe and Montgomery County one way, but when you're up in that air, when you're up in the sky, just the vantage point, the view, it's different. Like up there, I could see, well, when my eyes were open, I could see more than what you could see than when you're down here. God's perspective is far greater than our own. It says he knows and sees the beginning from the end. That's why we have to obey him and trust him. Because it may look bleak today, but God's like, hey, your breakthrough is right around the corner. And so, stay focused on his plan. Understand that God redeems what's lost in our lives. And your setback today can be your comeback tomorrow if you're willing to respond in the right way. You know, I talked about 2002 and 2003 being the worst time of our life. Talked about how I murmured and complained was very angry at everybody and God included. And once I made a decision to respond the right way, as God was telling me to respond, chain of events began to take place. And it wasn't too long after that, months after that, where God began to restore. He brought us to Houston with a new job. He restored our home. He restored our finances. We found the Ark Church. We started attending the Ark Church. We started volunteering. And God began to restore hope and life and joy and peace and all of the things that had been robbed from us in 2003. They were all brought back. I stand here today because I made a decision to do the right response back then. And God set me up for something that I couldn't have imagined I'd have the opportunity to do. And so the right response is key. But I want you to know you are not alone. That God is with you. That he is your helper. In Psalm 46:1, the Bible says that he is an ever-present help. God is our refuge and strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble. He's always with you. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to inquire of the Lord, to listen to what he would say to you about your situation. Have faith and believe in what he tells you, and listen to what he tells you, and stay focused on the plan. And I believe that just like David, and just like Derek, you will recover all. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father, I thank you for every household represented in this room today. I thank you, Lord God, that your hand is upon every man, woman, and child. And I thank you, Lord God, that nothing is too difficult for you. Lord, I thank you that you're giving answers right now, that you're giving answers this week, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, that as we inquire of you, as we, Lord God, listen to you and have and place our faith in you and obey what you're telling us to do, Father, I thank you that victory is on its way. Well, this morning, with every head bowed and eye closed, if you're here today and you say, Derek, I have never known Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Or maybe you're here today and you say, one time I was walking closely with the Lord, but life happened and I find myself far off the path. Well, this morning, I believe that one simple decision can help you get back on the right path. So again, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to ask you, as an act of faith, if you say today, I want to reconnect with the Lord, I want to connect with him for the first time, if you'll just simply slip up your hands and say, that's me, I want to make Jesus my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's great. Thank you. Put those down. Well, maybe you're here today and you didn't raise your hands, but you really do want to connect with the one who can get you out of anything, the one who can save your soul and heal your body and heal your mind, that extends to you as well. And so we're going to say what we do every week as a church family. We say a prayer together. So if you'll repeat after me, say, "Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior, and I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, and I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I am a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you." Father, I just thank you that every person who made that prayer today, Lord God, I thank you that you're turning the tide in their favor and that their best days are ahead of them. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.